Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. 30% of Americans who are planning home improvements of $5,000 or more will pay for those renovations with a high-interest credit card. That may not be a great idea. A better idea may be to take cash out of your home with a Quicken Loans 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 4.375%. APR, 4.65%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate subject to change. Pay 2.13% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
Open the pod bay doors, Hal.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight? What?
Take your stinking paws off me, you damn dirty ape!
At the Movies on BFM 89.9.
I'm Umar Paganampake Pagan, alongside Ian McNally. The fourth movie in the Insidious franchise is now in cinemas. It's called The Last Key. It's directed by newcomer Adam Robitel. It stars series favourites Lin Shaye and Leigh Whannell. It is, of course, produced still by James Wan, the originator of the franchise, and it is a Blumhouse joint. Joining Leigh Whannell and Lin Shaye are Angus Sampson as Tucker and Kirk Acevedo as Ted Garza.
The actor who was so good in Fringe, they brought him back as a parallel universe version when they killed him off.
Correct. I like him. I like him in a lot of things.
He's always solid. Like, when I see him, it's like, hey.
12 Monkeys, yeah. Fringe. So this is the fourth movie. James Wan is just strictly on producing duties. Leigh Whannell's still writing them.
Yeah, but he's taking a backseat from driving after directing Insidious
Chapter 3. Chapter 3, correct.
Just no subtitle, just Chapter 3.
Chapter 3. If you must know the timeline, it can get a little complicated. Insidious Chapter 3 is first in the timeline.
Yeah.
And then comes The Last Key, and then Insidious and Insidious Chapter 2.
And Insidious 5, 6, 7, and 8 will all happen between Insidious 4 and Insidious Chapter 1.
Who knows?
It's a very impressive feat of vamping when you've gotten rid of your most impressive and iconic character in your first outing and realize that she's the reason the series exists.
Exactly. And we're speaking, of course, of Lin Shaye, who plays Elise Rainier, right? I mean, she is the psychic, the person who everyone goes to help with their ghostly problems. And she's amazing. She's such a great character actor. And to see her in this sort of role, in this kind of schlocky, horror, budget comedy even. I mean, all of these movies have some great comedic moments in them.
Mm.
And she does it so well, she looks like she's having so much fun.
She's everybody's grandma.
And you met her.
Yes.
In Hong Kong.
Yes.
And she is genuinely having fun.
Yeah, she's vibrant. She's totally into everything. She liked my t-shirt. But she's playing a role that could be, it's been done to death.
Yes.
You know what I mean? She's basically playing Zelda Rubinstein's character from Poltergeist. The
Correct.
Original movie is part Poltergeist, part horror movie.
It's somewhat of an homage and also, I wouldn't say parody, but it actually does poke fun at Poltergeist too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they never make fun of her character.
No.
And she plays it in every case where you could take the standard traditional route of playing that character. She goes somewhere else. So like, even when she turns up, she's super nice. And like, if she turns up the first movie, she's super grandmotherly. She's everybody's grandmom. She's like all those elements that you all have from your grandmom. Like, even the way she dresses is all like soft shawls and things like this. She's not some hippie queen.
No. But she's also a badass.
Yes.
In this one, in The Last Key, it kind of takes it back to her childhood because the haunting is in her own family home.
Because at this point, it's an impressive feat of creative vamping in that they've made a tapestry out of, like, nothing and backfilling and, like, digging up mysteries that were never there in the first place and pretending like they always were?
Well, they've done it with both The Conjuring and this one, right? I mean, even tying in Annabelle and The Conjuring and all of these movies together is an impressive feat of retconning.
Yeah.
When the first Insidious movie came out, it didn't feel like it was part of a franchise. It was this $1.5 million budget movie from Blumhouse that made a ton of money.
And at the time, I skipped over it because it was just another horror movie
it
from
was.
Blumhouse with Patrick Wilson in it.
Correct.
And it looked like at the time, I mean, I came to the series late, I'll admit that, but there was a period of like me being a horror snob and watching too much Japanese horror and then going like, well, this is just jump scares or this is just whatever. But having recently gotten back into all the movies, I mean, they are... There are reactions to the schlock that I didn't like, and they fare much better than that kind of those kind of things.
Which is why, you know, I mean, the last key.
The biggest problem is we've never heard of any of the previous keys.
Correct, and I think that's a plot problem.
Yes.
However, The Last Key isn't a bad movie.
No.
I think it's incredibly entertaining. It is exactly what I expected from the series, and I had a great time at the cinema. I'm a big fan of horror movies. I overlook all of the plot holes and plot devices, and all I'm there for is for an hour and 45 minutes or 2 hours, I want to get scared in a cool and creative way.
Yeah.
And every one of these movies, including the ones in the Conjuring series, are separate universes, by the way,
yeah.
Actually manage to deliver. There are at least two or three moments which are new, creative, novel. I mean, sure, there are a bunch of jump scares which are the same, people running across the screen from the background.
But they also know how to keep the time between the scares. Like, you really feel like I get tense waiting for, because you know the next scare is coming, and they manage that time pretty well. You know, some movies you get bored waiting for, I'm just waiting for the jump scares because I don't care about these people and what's going on. But this movie has an interesting structure in that it introduces some elements some way through that we can't go into because they'll spoil the movie for you, the surprise and everything. Not to say that they're twists, but there's like a wrinkle in a horror movie that I don't think I've ever seen in a supernatural horror movie before.
No,
and
it's
I was like pleasantly surprised.
Good, it's a very good surprise.
Yeah.
Also, you care about these characters.
Yeah.
And so with the Conjuring verse, with the Insidious verse, all of these characters I care about because I think the writers do a lot to create believable, likable characters as opposed to just scaring the crap out of you.
Yeah, and I know they're in the first one, which is, so these are, in these prequels, they will survive, but I keep expecting Specs and Tucker to die because they are so relentlessly dumb, and yet, I don't understand what's going on there. They seem to know what they're doing with regards to equipment and things like this, and sometimes their equipment picks up things that Elise can't see, but they're completely clueless the rest of the time, and they usually get knocked out at some point, and there's a beautiful moment we talked about off-air earlier where there's a hole that someone has to climb into and Tucker's like, hang on a second. And he very clearly just makes it easier to get in there. And then he's like, after you. He lets the 70-year-old, 80-year-old woman go first. Whereas him, the big hulk of a man, is going to just sit outside eating because he's always eating.
Eating, right? And yes, that's the other thing about this film. It is surprisingly a lot funnier than I expected it to be.
Mm.
There are some great moments. There are some great scary moments. There are some great uses of silences in this.
And whistles. If you ever have a bunk bed, never, ever drape sheets off the top of the bunk
Why
bed so they hang
do
down
that?
Over the bottom.
Why
it's a bad
would you do
idea.
That? I think this movie will do very well in the Malaysian box office. Mm. I think we like horror movies. I think we're going to watch a horror movie regardless,
yep.
Right? I don't know how well it's going to do overseas because I don't know if people have a certain amount of fatigue for the franchise. I mean, the Insidious movies have made less and less money over the years, and I don't know if people are just bored.
Yeah, because it's hard to say, it's like, oh, I'm going to go see the next one because it's going to be something truly surprising. Like, there is interesting elements in that, but they're interesting because of the framework they're in. And there is, was it the law of diminishing returns? There's not that much new about it.
That being said, I think if you're a fan of horror and you approach this every couple of years as an extended TV episode in a series, I don't think you'll be disappointed. I mean,
it's at CSI where this S stands for spooky.
I'm trying to think of a cool word for C.
But it doesn't feel like I'm going to be rushing out to see it, but like I might actually because my girlfriend can only watch horror movies in the cinema. I've suggested we catch up on a few at home and it's
you
like,
don't
no.
want to bring that stuff home.
She doesn't want it home. She doesn't want it in the house.
Yeah, I mean I really had a good time in the cinema. I was scared. I think that should be the benchmark, right? When you go to see any movie with Annabelle Creation, as you know, I was scared.
Yeah.
I was the only person in the cinema. I was cursing at the screen. With this one, there were moments when I was as scared.
Mm.
That being said, the scares in Insidious don't linger.
And
it falls prey to the same problem that a lot of these movies have, in that once the monster is revealed.
And they're not shy about it, I think.
No.
The Conjuring Annabelle. Like, they have a 7 foot tall demon, like, midway through or beginning of the third act. And it's like, there it is. This thing, I think that the creatures in this suffer slightly, and it has happened for the other ones as well, where there's not much backstory to this key monster.
It's a demon.
Yeah.
But that's all we know.
Whereas I think in Insidious 3, it's the breathing man, or the gas mask man, they call him. Like, and it's a demon, I think, in Insidious Chapter 1 and 2 as well. It's a folklorist demon. But I think it's nice if these demons have some tie. Like, I mean, Scooby-Doo works because you find out what the mystery is. We want to know the mystery.
A little bit of a backstory.
If it's just a monster from somewhere, then that's kind of like, ugh.
And when the monster is revealed, suddenly you feel as brave as the characters who are facing down this monster. And so that causes the scares not to linger, because it's over, it's done. The monster is defeated, at least for the moment, and you're fine.
Yep.
And in that sense, it lacks the same kind of impact as some of the best movies of the genre, The Exorcists and It and all of these things.
Because it was heading down that path, because the first one has that kind of ending, which is like, there is no happy endings. It's that kind of The Ring ending where, you shouldn't have helped her.
And the second one picks up almost immediately where the first one ends.
And that was a bad idea. They should have said like, oh, it turns out she's not dead, she's all right, let's continue on the timeline, but let's have that ending and let's not go back to that family, because that's a great twist ending, and you undo the magic of that series. I mean, the whole point of that, why it's special, is because of that ending. So if you undo that and make it a happy ending, then it kind of loses its power.
It's January, folks. It's what you're going to get. You're going to get your schlocky horror movies, and Insidious The Last Key, I'd say, is one you want to catch in cinemas.
It delivers.
It's well worth your time. It delivers. It gives you exactly what you expect from a movie like this one.
Yeah.
Check out Insidious The Last Key and let us know what you think. I'm on at Umar Pagan.
I'm on at McNasty Prime on Twitter.
You're listening to At The Movies on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. 30% of Americans who are planning home improvements of $5,000 or more will pay for those renovations with a high-interest credit card. That may not be a great idea. A better idea may be to take cash out of your home with a Quicken Loans 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 4.375%. APR, 4.65%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate subject to change. Pay 2.13% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.